Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7. We are almost out of Numbers, and we've never had so much fun in the book of Numbers, ever. And if you have read the Bible through, you'll know that Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy can be kind of laborious sometimes. But once you've read the whole book, there's a lot of information in there that pertains to the other things that you've read. And it helps with a lot of your understanding, especially with the law, how binding it is, and what the difference between God's first covenant and the law was, and Jesus Christ's second covenant. As I always say, what he gave to Abraham, the original first covenant, was not the Ten Commandments. I know you've heard that all your life in church, but that's not what it was. Read the book yourself. The first covenant was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a spiritual thing. One is an outward carnal thing. And they couldn't do it. They refused to do it. They wanted something to do with their hands because following God with all their heart was just too hard to do. So God gave them something even harder. Multiple volumes and volumes of statutes. You're unclean if you do this. You're unclean if you do that. You can accidentally be unclean. You can be unclean and not even know it. So you must sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice in different ways and give offerings and this kind of offering and that kind of offering. You know what? You cannot make yourself holy with your hands. There's nothing you can do with your hands. There's no work of your hands that can make you holy. And he piled these statutes on called the law so that they would one day cry out for the simplicity of the original covenant. Follow me with all your heart. And Jesus Christ brought that back. It says, follow me and be baptized. One is a spiritual thing. One is an outward worldly thing. You know, show the world that you're following me. Be baptized. And then follow me with all your heart and accept my grace through my one perfect sacrifice. Now, there's so many of us Christians that want to hold on to little pieces of this law. This Bible is very plain. It says, if you hold on to one portion of this law, you must keep it all. The law ends in bondage and death and separation from God. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you leave the law behind. He fulfilled the law once and for all, lived a perfect life, and became a perfect sacrifice. But if you confess Jesus Christ and you hold on to portions of this law, you're telling Christ what he done just wasn't good enough. I need to do something with my hands to make your sacrifice perfect. The Bible says what you've done by holding on to the law, you make what Christ done of no avail to you. So figure that one out. Chapter 33, book of Numbers. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys and the commandment of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their goings out. And they departed from Ramesses on the first month of the 15th day of the first month on the morrow after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, which the Lord had smitten among them upon their gods. Also the Lord executed judgments. And the children of Israel removed from Ramesses and pitched in Succoth. And they departed from Succoth and pitched in Itham, which is in the edge of the wilderness. Now, if you remember, if you catch the beginnings and go back to WVFFradio.com and catch the earlier versions of Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, and you'll get the whole story, how God had put it in the Egyptians' hearts to pile wealth on the Israelis before they left. So they would not leave as servants, they would leave as royalty, and they did. They piled all of their value, they gave all of their valuables to them, and they left Egypt.
You know, that's interesting. That's the first time I've realized that the Pharaoh that they were under, that Moses was speaking to, was Ramesses.
Oh, well, no, that's the city of Ramesses.
Oh, they departed from Ramesses. Oh, yeah, okay. Ramesses, yeah. So, yeah. All right.
And they removed from Etham and turned again unto Pithhiroth, which is before Baal-Ziphon, and they pitched before Migdol, and they departed from before Pithhiroth. Most terrifying things in this Bible are the words and the names. And passed through the midst of the sea into the wilderness, and went 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Etham, and pitched in Marah. And they removed from Marah and came to Elim, and in Elim were 12 fountains of water, and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. Remember that? That was the oasis in the middle of nowhere. And see, between the lines, if you see that, they pitched in a place, a little, there was a pond and some 12 trees. No, you read it all, you say, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're in a wilderness with nothing. There are 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, a little oasis in the middle of the desert. They moved from Elim and camped in the Red Sea, and they removed from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and camped in Dophka. They departed from Dophka and camped in Elush, and they removed from Elush and encamped in Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. And they departed from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai, and they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched in the Kibroth Hattaavah, and they departed from Kibroth Hattaavah and encamped in Hezroth, and they departed from Hezroth and pitched in Rithma, and they departed from Rithma and pitched in Rimmon Perez. They departed from Rimmon Perez and pitched in Libna, and they removed from Libna and pitched in Risha. They journeyed from Risha and pitched in Kehelatha, and they went from Kehelatha and pitched in the Mount Shaphir, and they removed from Mount Shaphir and encamped in Harada, and they removed from Harada and pitched in Makathoth, and removed from Makaloth and encamped in Tehith, and they departed from Tehith and pitched in Tara, and they removed from Tara and pitched in Mithka, and they went from Mithka and pitched in Hashma, and they departed from Hashmana and camped in Mosirath, and they departed from Mosirath and pitched in Benjakin, and they removed from Benjakin and camped in Horagidded. They went from Horagidded and pitched in Jabatha, and they removed from Jabatha and camped in Ebrana, and departed from Ebrana and camped in Ezegeber. They moved from Ezegeber and pitched in the wilderness of Zin, which is Kadesh. They moved from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor on the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up unto the Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord and died there. Because when the last time the Israelites said, oh no, there's no water, we should have never left Egypt. Moses, he was weary. God says, speak to the rock, Moses, and it will give forth water. And Moses, being weary, says, you people make me sick. You're always complaining. I'll give you water. And he hit the rock twice, and the rock came out water. He said, I give you water, not God. God told him exactly how to do it. You want to follow the law, Christian? You better do it exactly right. Because Aaron and Moses were given a death sentence that day because they didn't follow it exactly right.
Yes, sir. Now, that word Kadesh.
Yes.
It means holiness.
Holiness.
Yep, yep.
And that's the last place they camped.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So, if you look at all these, and the reason the Bible puts in all, they went here from there and went here from there and here from there, to show the foolishness of the 40 years in the wilderness. Because God brought them straight out of Egypt, straight to the land of Canaan, and said, go in. I sent the spies in, 12 of them. 10 of them come back and said, oh, there's no way we can take that land. There's giants there. There's walled cities. 2 of them said, that's a great land. Let's go right now. And the other 10 stirred up the entire camp. They all became depressed, started laying around, wishing they were back in Egypt. God's going to bring us out here to be wiped out. So God got angry. He said, I'm going to wipe them all out. Moses fell on his face again. He said, please, God, don't do it. Don't do it. What will all the people of the earth think if you do that? So he says, okay, I'm going to have them wander around the wilderness for 40 years. That's what all these different, went from here to there, here to there, here to, and if you get a map and you draw lines between all these places, they went in circles, in big arcs, went up, went straight back down. It was just like a big giant jigsaw puzzle where they just went all over the place for 40 years until every man from 20 years old up that doubted God died. So God got his judgment. I want them all wiped out. He just didn't do it in an instant because of the look that the rest of the world would see, the perception the rest of the world would have. So we're here now. Moses is getting ready to die because of his failure. He didn't follow God's commandment exactly right. And that's what the law ends in, is death, bondage, death, and separation from God. And Haran was 120 years old and 3 years old when he died in Mount Hor. The king Arad of Canaanite, which dwelt in the south in the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. They departed from Mount Hor and pitched in Zanah, and then they departed from Zelona and pitched in Punan. They departed from Punan and pitched in Oboth. They departed from Oboth and pitched in Ijeabarim, in the border of Moab. And they departed from Iam and pitched in Debogad. And they removed from Debogad and encamped in Almonbidlathamim. They removed from Almonbidlathamim and pitched in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. And they departed from the mountains of Abarim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. I wonder if Hebrew people have, when they're trying to read our language, right, have trouble with, like, Missouri?
I think so. That's a good point. I was sitting there thinking,
Illinois?
Yeah. The amount of people on the other side, like, listening to us read it, and they're like,
and they pitched by Jordan from Beth-Josimoth even unto Abel-Shittim in the plains of Moab. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy their molten images, and quick pluck down all their high places. Demolish all the spirituality of the land immediately. They shall dispose of the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Dispossess the inhabitants. Ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give, the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give, the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of you shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. So he says, absolutely dispossess these people. Get them out of there. Either kill them or drive them out. Because if you allow any of them to stay, you make covenants with any of them, your lives will suffer for the rest of time. And I will even curse you, because I wish to curse these people by driving them out. So that will fall on you. In chapter 34, Book of Numbers, here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7. Glad you could join us. Almost out of the Book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land, and shall fall into you for an inheritance, even the land of Canaan, with the coast thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin among the coast of Edom, and your south border shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and the pass of Zin, and go forth. Therefore shall ye be in the south of Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Harzarador there, and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt, and the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. This shall be your north border. From the great sea ye shall point out for your Mount Hor. From Mount Hor ye shall point out your borders unto the entrance of Hamath. And the goings forth of the border shall be of Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphram. And the goings out of it shall be Harzanian. This shall be your north border. Ye shall point out your east border from Hazarnan to Shephan. Now he's telling them, all of these landmarks, their borders will be here and there, all the way to this sea, to that place, to this mount. These people haven't been in this land for 400 years. Mm-hmm. How do they know anything about it? But I'm quite certain there are maps of the area, and I think they probably have them. Interesting thing, in the 14th century, I know this has nothing to do with this, this was 3,000 years earlier, but in the 14th century, when men were just able to start sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, a seafarer came up with a map of Antarctica, showing the coastline without the ice on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been covered with ice for thousands of years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Things exist from the former world. Things exist from ancient times that we know nothing about.
What's interesting about that, too, all right, and I do know, you know, seafarers can, you know, they can do it, all right, but the topography, the way that it's laid out, like I said, that for them to have that foreknowledge of seeing that map, that it would have to be an aerial view.
Oh, it was accurate.
Right.
Yes.
It was 100% accurate.
I mean, you've seen maps that were drawn by sea captains as they're driving by.
Yeah.
But this coast, this map of Antarctica.
Oh, yeah, it gave me the willies when I first saw it.
Was accurately drawn, and it can only be done from the air.
Yep.
Catch version one of Between the Lines. Number one, you can do it on WVFFradio.com. Between the Lines with Dave and Jonathan. Catch number one. There was another world here before this one. Same earth, but we went through this once before. It's right there in the Bible, and I'll prove it to you. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Aalen. The border shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Shinnereth eastward, and the border shall go down unto Jordan. The goings out of it shall be at the salt sea. It shall be your land with the coast thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, this is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto nine tribes and to the half tribe. For the tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. You remember those two tribes, and half of Manasseh found some good land on the other side. It was offensive to God. How dare you? But Moses went ahead and let them stay there, and their tribe will amount to nothing. And if you go back to the blessings Jacob put on Simeon and Gad, he basically said, you're not going to amount to much. So words have meanings. The two tribes and the half tribe have received their inheritance on this side Jordan near Jericho, eastward toward the sun rising. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. He shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the tribe of Zebulun, the son of Zephunan, and the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel, and son of Erahud, the tribe of Benjamin, Eladad, the son of Chizon, of the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Bukai, the son of Goli, prince of the children of Joseph, of the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod, prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiptin, prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elisaphan, the son of Parnak, prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Palil, the son of Azan, prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahud, the son of Shilomi, the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Padil, the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. Chapter 35, Book of Numbers, almost there. Laborious reading today, trying to make it as interesting as possible. But you got to get through it. If you got to read this book over and over in its entirety, once you've read the laborious portions, read and read and read the storylines, and then go back and read portions of these laborious parts, because they will fill in the lines. The Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab near Jordan, near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle, for their goods, and for their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. Ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits, and the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the city. Now, this is all the law also. You know, you think, oh, the law is the Ten Commandments. No, the law is volumes and volumes and volumes. A stack 8 inches tall of typed written volumes. And this is adding to it now. You do this and you do this and you do this. Mm-hmm. Impossible to follow. So if you think you're gonna keep the Sabbath holy, and in your mind that makes you a law keeper. No, you're not even close. There are thousands of things that you don't even understand. Do you realize if you pick up a handful of dirt and there's a dead insect in it, you've made yourself unholy and required to give a sacrifice? You can't even give the sacrifice. There's no temple. The entire Jewish religion is in an unholy state right now. There's no way for them to sacrifice. There's no way to keep this law, but they do it every day. They try to do it every day. They make what God says is an outwardly appearance, because the inner man is not even there. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs, and the cities which shall ye give shall be the possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many, ye shall give many. But from them that have few, ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance, which he inherited. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye become over Jordan unto the land of Canaan, and ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. So if you accidentally kill someone, you can flee to the city. If you don't flee immediately and they catch you, they'll stone you to death. But if you flee to this city and request asylum, and they figure out it was an accident, you can live in that city. But if you ever leave that city, you'll be stoned to death. Right. So under the law, even accidentally hurting someone requires punishment.
Yeah.
You accidentally cut someone's finger off. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Your finger gets cut off too.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.